Purdy. Do you know how to spell that from Michigan? That's it. P-U-R-T-Y. That's it. Amen. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Good to see you here this morning. Been a lot of tragedy in this old world this week. And the Lord spared us. And He let us go to church. Amen. And my wife says it a lot. Thank God for a normal day. Thank God for no tragedy, no heartache, no, you know, just normal day. Thank God for a normal day. I need to preach that one day, don't I? Thank God for a normal day. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 19. I don't know what you came to church for, but I came to hear from the Lord. You know what I did this morning? I got up. I grew up poor. Other than Danny, I don't think there's anybody here can outpour me. But I grew up poor, and we had three suits of clothes we had all year. Every year, Mama would go to Sears, order them from the little catalog. They'd send them in. We'd go pick them up. And that's our school clothes. And then when school was out, we wore them, cut them off. Of course, you didn't need a shirt as a little boy back then. You just throwed it away. And there wasn't much confusion about gender back then, you know. And so we'd cut our breeches off. We'd put our shoes up. Bottom of our feet was like leather sandals. I never owned a pair of sandals till I was 15 years old, man. We didn't need sandals. We walked on glass and rocks. But we didn't have many clothes. But then I got saved. I got saved when I was 23 years old. And I was so happy to be saved. I told my wife, I said, those people at church, those men's wearing suits. Let's go get me a suit. Didn't have much money. We went, and I didn't know what a suit was. We got one of those blue jean, one of those denim suits. Y'all remember them? Ugly. I didn't know it was ugly. I thought I had me a suit, man. I had one suit I got married in. I'm going to miss. That's the same one they're going to bury you in. So I got me another suit, blue jean. But you know what? Ever since then, when I think of church, I think of I'm going to dress my best. I'm going to behave my best. I'm going to look my best because I want to go meet the best, Jesus Christ. And I encourage y'all to do the same. There's something about just cleaning up and dressing up. And I'm not saying showing off. I'm just saying, Brother Ron, you come from poor people. Look at you. You look so nice. Some of you ladies, y'all come from poor people. You look so nice. I'm not saying people can't come like that, but I'm saying there's just something make you feel good about yourself. You know, when you... And how would y'all feel if I come in here today with my flowery breeches, short breeches and flip-flops and that Hawaiian shirt, my hair standing straight up, you know. You say, he ain't no preacher. Well, turn the picture around sometime. You know, turn that picture around. And I'm not fussing at you. I'm just stalling while some of you was looking for Revelation chapter 19. All right, amen. But still the truth. All right, let's start now. It's warm in here. We can't help it. It's just either warm. It's a Baptist church. It's hot or cold, you know. And so, verse 1, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. That's that religious system. And hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. That's that great destroyed religious system. Verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His saints, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Well, I like that. I like that. Now, let's pray, and then I'm going to give you a little glimpse of heaven today. Everybody says I'm a judgmental preacher and a law preacher, mean preacher and all that. I'm not. You don't know me. But I want to give you a little glimpse of heaven today. I'm going to go to the throne room of God. Amen. Boy, don't you want just a little glimpse every once in a while? Amen. This is the scene of the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Now, for those of you who don't know who's going to be there, it's going to be the bride of Christ, which is all of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've accepted Him as our Savior. We've been born again by faith through the shed blood and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now the resurrection has occurred. The trumpet is sound. Those which were dead in Christ, they've gone up. And those which are alive been changed, and we've gone up with them. And now we're up in heaven. And we're at this great marriage supper. And I don't know if you've ever been to a marriage supper or not, but it's usually a big deal. I don't like them. When we go to those things, my wife says, don't touch anything. You'll break it. She says, don't make fun of the food. Y'all husbands ever hear that? Don't make fun of the food. And I said, but it looks like poison oak. She says, it's salad. But here they are. They're in heaven. We're all standing there. We're at the marriage supper. We're about to complete our marriage vows. We're about to be united with our Savior, the Lamb of God. And now we're up there. And let me tell you something. If you don't like shouting and singing and crying and walling around crying, you better not be there, because I guarantee you there's some old-fashioned Christians that's going to be having a fit. And there's some of us, we're going to be crying like little babies because we know we're not worthy to be there. And it's all about Him. Amen? We're going to have one of them old-fashioned Baptist-costal fits while we're up there. Amen? And look, if you don't want to go, believers in Christ, they are there physically now as well as spiritually, because we have been saved and redeemed from the wrath of an almighty God. We have been redeemed and bought back from the penalty of sin, which is death, hell, and the grave. Y'all still with me? All right. Now, we are there not because of what we did, but because of what He did. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Amen. And all we did was ask Him to save us. That's all we did. So we've got a lot to rejoice about in heaven. Amen. Amen. Now, you come to church down here and you look like somebody's been feeding you prunes all day, or some of you persimmons. Some of y'all didn't even smile on that. Listen, I hope you have to eat blueberries for lunch. No real southerner likes blueberries. But anyway, and look, you sit around down here stone-faced and stone-hearted. How are you going to act when you get to heaven? Well, hey, this is we would call it the vestibule to heaven. We're not in heaven yet, but we're in that outer room getting ready. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we're going to the wedding. What does a bride do before she goes to the wedding? They take her back in a little room. I remember my daughters when they got married. They took them back in a little room where couldn't nobody see them. And boy, they began to dress them up. And it took hours. I'm talking about hours. To make these women to look like the bride they wanted to look like. I thought they looked pretty good going in. They are my daughters after all. And they dressed them up. And boy, they come out of that room. And I'm talking about look like royalty. Look like royalty. My daughters had Princess Di weddings. I mean, man, it was awesome. And I had nothing to do with them because I couldn't do nothing but cry. The whole time I wept. Usually it's the mama that weeps. She's sitting over there looking at me. I'm sitting over there. That man's taking my baby girl. I don't even know him. Who is this guy? Amen? don't know nothing about him. And they drive off into the sunset, and I'd break down and cry like a little old baby. And look, and it was a time of rejoicing too. But what I'm saying is, the bride got ready. Now listen, we're in the time of getting ready.
Amen.
He's going to come any moment from now. The sky's going to split wide open. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And we'll be changed and we'll meet them in the air. But that's not the end of it. That's where most people leave the story. And boy, we're going to go up into heaven. And listen, there's going to be a bridal supper. Amen. And we're finally going to get to meet the groom. Amen. Now, we've seen him. This is kind of like one of those long-distance relationships. We've seen him, but we've never really seen him. Amen. And we've accepted him, but we've never really touched him. And one day, we're going to go to where he is, and we're going to see him as he is, and we'll be changed to be like him. And we're going to the bridal supper, and I think there's going to be a lot of shouting up there, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When my daughters got married, the men's mother shouted. Thank God there's another woman got him now. I don't have to wash his clothes. But boy, we're going to get up to heaven. And we're going to, hey, while we're there, we're going to be changed both physically and spiritually. And listen, we're going to be, right now we're being saved. We're already saved eternally, but we're being saved physically. One day we're going to be redeemed. This old body will be redeemed. And while we're in heaven, the salvation will be complete. Finally. And we'll have that to rejoice about. And then believers, listen, we are going to be saved once and all, once forever, from the power and the penalty of the sin of this stinking old world. Amen.
Yeah.
We read in the paper just this yesterday about that guy down there in Lancaster killing that little autistic boy and chopping him up and burning his body and all that stuff. Makes us sick. One day, Brother Rick, ain't going to be no more of that.
Amen.
We're finally going to get complete satisfaction because we'll have complete salvation away from this sinful, dirty, nasty old world we live in. And I tell you as a Christian, don't get too attached to this place. If you are a whole lot attached to this place, it may be that you're not going to heaven. You say, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're called pilgrims. We're called aliens. We're not citizens of this world. The Bible says we're citizens of a faraway country. Amen. And I'm looking forward to getting there, aren't you? Amen. So there's a lot to be rejoiced about when you get to heaven. Amen. Heaven's not going to be a quiet place. It is not. And then did you know that once and for all we'll be out from under the dominion of sin? Now we as Christians don't like to talk about it. In Sunday school you should have come. We've been teaching through the book of Romans and we've been bearing down on righteousness and sin and the law and the penalty of sin, and the deliverance of sin. Something most people don't even know about anymore. They don't even hear about it at church anymore. And when you get to studying the dominion of sin over mankind, it gets kind of heartbreaking. Because that same sin is always trying to get dominion over us again since we got saved from it. And it's a constant struggle. We're constantly struggling, trying to be the Christian we ought to be, and fighting this old flesh, which is in a world dominated by sin. Come on, help me. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Every day you struggle with this thing right here. If you don't see that struggle, you probably don't have a spiritual man. But if you've been born again, the spiritual man tells you every day, this thing's a mess. Amen. And we've got to struggle with it. And you're not going to be perfect or free from it until one day when you get to heaven, you'll finally realize what it is to be set free.
Amen.
Some of you have been delivered from the sin of alcoholism, drug addiction, fornication, adultery, maybe even homosexuality or lying or stealing. You got saved, you got delivered from that, but you know there's a constant struggle to stay away from it. Every day we struggle with this old flesh. Boy, it's going to be good. I'm going to have me a Baptist dance when I get up there. Glory to God, I don't have to be like that anymore. Amen. God, the devil ain't even up here no more. Amen. He ain't up here to bother me anymore. I might jump me a few pews. Amen. If they have them, I'll jump me some pews. But there it is. There's the picture. They're in heaven. And those verses are saying, they're saying something. Hallelujah. 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 I knocked on this lady's door one day trying to get her to church, and I witnessed to her. And the more I talked to her, the funnier she'd look at me. And then finally she looked at me and she said, "You don't sound like no Baptist to me," and slammed the door in my face. I said, "Amen! Hallelujah!" Amen? Ain't that the truth? Now, might as well get used to it. Amen? Some people, they get kind of perturbed at me because I like to laugh and make people laugh, you know, sometime during my sermon. And many a truth is said in jest. See, I can tell you hard to take truth and make you laugh while you're taking it, and you don't know you're taking it because I just put some sugar on it. And then you'll go out here and somebody will say, "What did the preacher preach on?" You say, "My goodness, he preached on against sin. I didn't even realize that until you asked me. I was having such a good time." But we're going to get to heaven. And we're going to be completely saved. And we're going to, hey listen, we're going to be rejoicing because finally we get to see the Savior who bought us from our sin and death, hell, and the grave. And listen, the Bible compares that to a wedding. Now, when I was younger, I didn't like weddings. I didn't like funerals. But like I said, being a pastor, I still don't like to do weddings. I really don't. I don't like pomp and circumstance. Women get all into weddings. You know. I mean, they'll have 25 bridesmaids. And 3 or 4 people throwing flowers on the ground, you know. And 4 or 5 singers, you know. And the man says, "Why can't she just walk up here and let's go through the ceremony and say amen and go home?" Somebody told this young preacher one time, said, "Pastor, can you show me where the wedding ceremony is in the Bible?" I said, "No, it ain't in there. It ain't in there. And there's no funerals in there either. We make that stuff up because we like pomp and circumstance." Amen? It'd be a whole lot better just to get them together, quote a few scriptures and say, "Do you?" And he says, "I do." And I say, "Do you?" And she says, "I do." And you say, "Do you promise to God?" And she says, "I do." And say, "Do you promise to God?" And he says, "I do." Say, "Then I now pronounce you man and wife." But we like ceremony. And boy, when we get to heaven, we're going to see some ceremony. Amen. The bride is going to be adorned, it said. The bride will be adorned for the groom. You're going to make a pretty bride, brother. 44 years married. When you get up there, you're going to be a bride. You was a groom on the other time. This time, you're going to be a bride. You're going to be pretty. I tell you, you're going to be pretty. Got a lot of work to do. Well, you have a glorified body, see. Amen. So we get to heaven. We get a peek of it. Now I want you to notice in verse 1 what they're shouting about. Look at verse 1. "And after these things," what things? After that great whore was judged, that religious organization, that one world church, by the way, which is growing bigger and bigger every day, that one world church with a false Christ, false Savior, false prophets, false preachers, false doctrine, I just dare say false music, false teaching, and now God has judged that. He calls her a whore because what it is some of the church mixing with things that are not the church and never should have done that. Committing spiritual adultery is what the believer was doing. And now that's been judged and it's been destroyed. So now they're there in heaven. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Preacher, what y'all shouting about? Salvation. Salvation. I hear some poor mouth Christians, man. I'm telling you, I hear poor mouth Christians, and sometimes I just want to slap them in Jesus' name and say, would you wake up? Look what you're talking about. Look what you've got. You don't even realize what you got. You're so busy complaining about what you don't have that you don't realize what you've got. You have eternal life. You're going to live as long as God lives. Amen. God would have to die for you to die. But preacher, they hurt my feelings. You ain't supposed to have no feelings. The Bible says you died when you got saved and you were born again, a new creature in Christ. You shouldn't run around your feelings. If you want some feelings, look to heaven. That's where we're going to get our feelings. Amen. And boy, they're shouting and they're praising God. Why, preacher? Because they got a new Mercedes? No. Why? Because they got a bigger house? No. Because they're saved from the wrath of Almighty God. They're not under the judgment of God. They're under the deliverance of God. And they're in heaven shouting, I'm saved. It was funny how when people first get saved, they're all excited about it. I remember when I first got saved, I cried all day. I cried all day. I cried walking down the aisle. I cried in the prayer room. I cried at the altar. I cried when I got home. Everything was different. The sky was bluer. The trees were greener. I really understood what loving my wife and kids meant. I understood what loving my mama meant. Everything was different. I got a new mind. I got a new heart. I got a new spirit. I didn't know those things. I didn't know it. I didn't know in the Bible it told me all that, but somehow that changes your feelings, it changes your emotions, it changes your thinking. Amen? Boy, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You just said amen a whole lot louder than that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's put it this way. I went in a Democrat and come out a Republican. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? Let's put it this way. This would be better. I went in a heathen, I came out a believer. Amen? Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. And they're up in heaven, and that's the first thing they're shouting about. They're not shouting because they said, oh God, I want to thank you. What a wonderful person I was. No, sir. They're saying, oh God, I want to thank you for what a sorry, low-down sinner I was, but you saved me anyway. Amen. Amen. It's time some of us got back to shouting about our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Look, if you didn't know, I didn't know one Bible verse when I got saved. I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't know a hymn. I didn't know how you were supposed to behave in church. I didn't grow up in church. Nobody I knew did. And I didn't know what a Christian was supposed to be. But I knew this. That day I walked out there, I was happy to be saved.
Amen.
And you couldn't embarrass me about it. I went to work and I didn't know how to explain it. But I started talking about it. And they'd say, hippie, something done happened to you. And I said, I can't explain it. Come down here to church with me this Sunday. That preacher preaches it every Sunday. How to be saved and know it. I got saved. That's all I know how to tell you. And I'm different. And they say, yeah, you're sure different. And I say, yeah. And it's good to be different.
Amen.
You know, most Baptist church members act like to be saved is a punishment. They do. They act like being saved is something to be remorseful over, not celebrate. Well, Pastor, Baptists can't dance, we can't drink beer, we can't have a mixed drink, we can't have a little martini, we can't go places where all them other people go, we can't do those things they do, we're supposed to dress different and behave different and talk different. Amen! But that's not a punishment. That is a release.
Amen.
You were in bondage. Now you've been set free. You can serve God and enjoy it. Amen? Amen. Amen. And look, number one, they're celebrating about their salvation. Now people get saved, and I stand up here and I announce it, and you don't hardly see people get saved like they used to. But the pastor will announce it, and everybody say, oh. It used to be, go to Baptist church, somebody walked down and get saved. People were shouting and waving their hands. Amen, amen, the prodigal's home. Amen, hallelujah. Now they go, oh. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You're really going to be out of place when you get to heaven. Because I'm going to look around and see all those dirty, rotten sinners that got saved, and I'm going to have me a fit and say, I didn't even know they was going to make it. Amen? There are going to be people in heaven you didn't think were going to make it. Amen? There are going to be some ain't there you thought would be too. But boy, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate our salvation. We're going to celebrate other people's salvation. I'm really concerned that a lot of parents are not concerned about their children's salvation. Well, they don't like to go to Sunday school. They don't like to go to school tomorrow, and you're going to make them go. Well, they don't like to go to preaching. They don't understand it. They don't understand science tomorrow, but you're going to let them go. You're going to make them go so they can learn it.
Come on now. Yeah.
But, Pastor, my kids are good. Your kids are dirty, rotten sinners. They've been liars ever since they were born. David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. You're a little sinner. You're a little bit bigger sinner. You're a sinner. Preacher, I ain't never seen nobody say that. Well, somebody needs to say it so they'll realize they're sinners so they can get saved.
Amen. Come on. Yeah.
Boy, you'll watch the news and some guy, he'll rob a liquor store and killed two or three people, and they'll go to his grandma who had to raise him because his mama was a sinner who never got saved because grandma never saw the importance. And they go to grandma and said, and first thing she'll say to that newsman, she'll say, but he's a good boy. And the neighbors will say, well, he was always good to me. He shot and killed somebody. He robbed a bank. He terrorized people. But he's a good boy. That's my grandson. Now, this ain't the judgment seat of Christ here. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. But before we get married, we're going to have a judgment seat. And at that judgment seat, mothers and fathers are going to give account for what they did with their children. I'll guarantee you that right now. Now, you may go to heaven without them, but I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to get by with it. You have to answer for not bringing them with you.
Amen.
I better go on until I hit a nerve on that one. Amen. If you don't shout over salvation, I can't get you to shout about nothing. If you ain't happy about salvation, we might as well just go home right now.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Amen. Could it be you're not that excited because you don't have it?
Come on, preach it. Yeah.
Look at verse 2 and 3. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he had judged the great whore. Now, I want to tell you something. They just got through saying hallelujah. And again in verse 3, after he says he's judged a great whore and for avenging the blood of the servants, in verse 3 it says, again they said, hallelujah! Yeah. And her smoke rose up. Did you know that we're going to be praising the Lord for righteous judgment in heaven?
Amen. Yeah.
I probably shouldn't be on Facebook. I make people mad.
Amen.
But there's always a block button. There's always unfriend. There's always unfollow. You don't have to follow me. And any time I mention judgment of sin, I become the boogeyman. Because, see, everybody's going to heaven. According to the Facebook gospel, everybody's going to heaven. According to the media, there's really no bad people. They're just misled. The jail's full of misled people. You work with the police department. They're all misunderstood. They're misunderstood. But I've got news for you. God is a God of judgment.
Yes.
Thank God that he's a God of salvation. He saved us unworthily. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Unworthily he saved us. We don't deserve it. But listen, he judged us before he saved us.
Amen.
If he had not judged us and found us guilty, we would not need a Savior.
Come on now. Yeah. Right.
Now I know you think God won't judge you because you're a good guy. And I know you think God won't judge your youngins because they're the best in town, unless you talk to their teacher or their Sunday school teacher. And And I know you think God won't judge your grandchildren, your brother, your sister, your mama, your dad, your husband, your wife. But I've got news for you. God's a God of judgment first.
Amen.
Then the God of salvation. And they're going to be shouting in heaven. Read it. Again, they said, hallelujah. Because God has judged. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about judgment and righteousness and imputation and salvation, all these things. And Sister Deborah brought up the heart-rending story of her son who was murdered by drug dealers. And we were trying to figure out the forgiveness of God and the grace of God and how those people could go to heaven. And we had to conclude, according to the Scriptures in Romans chapter 3, we're all sinners. Some are greater than others. And in order to go to heaven, the least of sinners has to go the same way that the most of sinners does, which is by realizing there's a righteous and there's a holy God in heaven. We've broken His laws. We've gone against His commandments. And either we will answer for that, or we'll let His Son pay the debt for us. Turned out, I think she said, two of those boys had turned to the Savior and one had not. Now, God's a God of judgment. If you don't turn to the Savior, let me give you some shocking news. You will stand before holy God and answer for your sins. The Bible goes so far, even every idle word. Said, there's an angel writing this stuff down. I get around people and they'll say a cuss word and they say, oh, I'm sorry, preacher, I forgot you. I said, don't apologize to me. There's an angel writing down your words, and one day there's a holy God you're going to have to answer to, not me. I said, I appreciate you respecting me, but I'd rather you respect Him because He's going to judge you.
Amen.
Amen? Come on. And look, when we get to heaven, we're going to shout about the righteous judgment of God, because there needs to be some judgment on this old world and some people of this world, and they need to be put in a devil's hell and then later on in a lake of fire, because God would not be just to have it any other way.
Come on now. Yep.
And of all things, God's just, He's holy, He's righteous. And when we get to heaven, now look, I preach funeral. I have preached. I've been to poor man's funeral around this town for years and years and years. And I preach funerals of people I never even met. So I read their obituary and leave them and go to salvation, try to get everybody saved. Because I don't know. But usually their reputation is not good if they call me for something like that. And just because I preached on salvation does not make that person saved. They've already been judged. And let me tell you something. God would not be right and holy and just if He did not do it that way. If those people got into heaven, they would turn it into hell.
Come on now.
Well, Pastor, you're being mean. No, I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, according to verse 2 and 3, it says again they said hallelujah after the judgment of the great whore. And we're going to shout and say, thank God, God is right. And we're going to worship Him in His judgment as well as in His salvation. Y'all still with me? Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. It's getting hot in here. Verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, hallelujah. Now you listen to me. When we get to heaven, look at that word worship. It means adore, praise, bow down to, humble ourselves before Him. Now, there's a lot of people that won't do it on planet Earth, and they're saved. Saved people. Because they're afraid of what somebody might think about them. You know, some of you old ladies are going to drag out that hanky and start waving it again.
Amen.
You remember when the old Pentecostal ladies used to take their hanky out and woo! Woo! I preached in a church down around Maxton. They shouted me out. I was preaching on hell. And they shouted me out. Those ladies got to crying and hollering and waving their hanky. Woo! praise God. Hallelujah. I just had to quit preaching. And then I started back. And after I started back, one but a minute or two, they started wailing. Woo! You say, well, preacher, that would scare me. Well, you better not go to this supper. Amen. There's going to be a supper where they worship God. Amen. Most people don't even know what worship is anymore. Worship is not a corporate thing where we all get together and sing Jesus is my boyfriend 7 times. That's all they do now. They sing those 7 and 11 songs. They sing 7 words 11 times. Jesus is my boyfriend. That's what it sounds like. Amen. Boy, when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing all hail the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to say, let angels prostrate fall. Amen. We're going to be singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We're going to be singing, glory to God in the highest. Amen. There's going to be some real worship up there. And the Bible says if you worship Him, you have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know what that means? Spirit is that newborn person. You can't do it if you're not. Because your spirit's dead. How can a dead thing worship God? And then in truth is the Word of God. You've got to know what the Word of God says in order to worship God rightly. A lot of people think that they want Him to flash some little blue and red lights and roll out some dry ice smoke. And get a feather and stand at the door with some guy that's got a ponytail, says he's an Indian, and he's got a pot of smoke. I've seen all this. And got a pot with smoke coming out of it, takes that old buzzard feather, and it says, the great Spirit bless you. The great Spirit bless you. Let me tell you something. That's as heathen as you can get. That's not worshiping God. You're worshiping in spirit and truth. I'll tell you, the greatest times of worship I've ever had was when it put me flat on my face. And I just lay out on the floor at the altar and say, oh God, doesn't run out of words, doesn't run out of tears, just lay there and say, oh God, oh God, oh God, and God come in and wrap Himself around you and you feel His power and His presence. Boy, what's it going to be like when we get up there and feel it in completeness? See, some of y'all make fun of them old Pentecostal style people. You're going to be so out of place. I can't wait to see some of you sophisticated people. I told you, I passed around this video, this old boy. This preacher was preaching. Brother Earl was his name. He was singing. And he was singing one of those old songs without music, you know. He's about 80-something years old. Old Brother Earl could preach, country preacher. And he got to singing. And I could tell there was a boy up here on the front. Up here, and the preacher was over there, and that old boy was just. And I thought, he's going to run. He's sitting there like that. He's looking at that preacher, and he looked out there, and he looked at that preacher. And this one old boy got ahead of him, sitting about 3 rows back. He took his coat off, he was shouting, he was going, woo! And his coat, he stepped out in the aisle, his coat come off his hand and went right over the old preacher's head while he was singing. And the preacher kept on singing. He threw it off and kept on singing. About that time, that old boy sitting there, woo! He ran all the way back to the back. And he ran down that aisle over there, woo! Woo! And he ran up over here, woo! And he ran across the front like this, woo! And then he ran up here to the baptistry. And he jumped up on the pew and he dove in the baptistry. I kept looking to see if he drowned. He jumped up. He come out of that baptistry and cut 2 more laps wet. You say, that's fanaticism. I'd rather be a fanatic about Jesus than NASCAR. Amen. It's better than getting drunk. The old boy probably used to be drunk every Sunday. Now he's praising God. Get out of the way and leave him alone. He's worshiping God. Some people just cry. I mostly just cry. When a preacher preaches at me, I just cry like a little old baby. But there's going to be some worship in that. Listen. And they're going to be worship not only because of salvation, but because of judgment.
Amen.
I'm tired of this stinking world. I'm tired of the crooks that are in control. I'm tired of the crooks that have taken over our churches and our seminaries and the crooks that have taken over our pulpits and our Sunday school classes. I'm tired of these people doing it for greedy gain. I am so looking forward to the wedding supper. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to worship God. And y'all can get over there and act that ain't my pastor. I don't care what you say. Amen. 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 That took the breath out of me. I'm getting too old. Last, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. You still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? It don't matter if you are or not. Get saved. You wouldn't be mad about this. And the voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude. Look, there are so many of them. He compared it to many waters, like a waterfall. He compared it to many thunders. And they were saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent." Hey, He's omnipotent. Hey, He's all-powerful. He's all-present. He's all-knowing, but He's omnipotent. Now listen. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." Amen. They're shouting for the victory. They're saying, "Thank God, there He is. And thank God, here we are. Hallelujah. We are now ready." Amen. Now look, today we might not be ready. But on that day, everything's going to be settled. Yes, and everything's going to be finished. And hey, we're going to be ready. And we're going to shout that we have the victory finally at last. Amen. Now this week, some of you have been battling the old devil. You might not even know that it was the devil. I better put this back on and look dignified. And some of you might not even know it was the devil. But you've been battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. Some of you have had a hard week. And you may not whine and complain, complain like a lot of people do. Listen, there's been sickness. There's been heartache. There's been disappointment. And every day, as saints of God, as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the redeemed that we are, as the Lamb of God, we still struggle in this old world. Just to stay right with God. Not to be saved. We're saved. We have eternal security. We'll never die. We're going to live as long as God does. But just to stay right with God. We struggle every day. And the old devil is a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to discourage you. He wants to get you down. He wants to get you out of church. He wants to get you to stop reading the Bible. He wants you to stop praying and stop witnessing and stop being what you ought to be. And he's running interference. He's sending his old demons to get in your way. And they get into people and those people get in your way. And you get disappointed and downhearted. But listen, this is the victory that overcometh the world. 1 John 5:4b says, "Even our faith." And you keep the faith. Amen. And you keep walking spiritually. And you keep going spiritually. And you weep and you cry and you beg God for deliverance and you keep walking spiritually. And you weep and you cry and you beg God for help and you keep walking spiritually. And you weep and you cry and every once in a while you have a little victory here on earth. But as soon as you have a victory, I got news for you, the devil's coming to steal it if he can. And so finally, we're going to be in heaven. And we're going to sing, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." And we're going to point at Him. "He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood." Praise God. Amen. He loved me ere I knew Him. Now you listen to me. This ain't heaven. I don't care what Joel Osteen said today. This is not heaven. I don't care what Joey, whatever her name is, Joyce Meyer. I don't care what she said. This is not heaven. This is the closest thing to hell believers will ever have. And we have it hard sometimes. But we don't run up a flag every time we have hard times. We don't publish a newspaper article every time we have hard times. We don't run down at the church and blame it on the pastor and the people down there. We keep right on living by faith.
Amen.
And one day that same faith, we're going to be walking along one day and something's going to go, da-da, da-da, come up hither. And we're going to walk off into glory.
Amen.
Then, the saying that death has been swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's why we sing "Your Soldiers for the Cross." That's why we sing and we're marching upward to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Now they're shouting up there. And when we all get there, the whole bride gets there, there's really going to be some shouts. Now this is just the beginning. Later on, we'll have more shouting when we see those loved ones we've lost to death. Later on, there's going to be more shouting when we get judged and Jesus gives us our crowns, there's going to be more shouting. And we're going to shout through all eternity. Are you ready? The only reason that I could think that anyone wouldn't want these things is because they've never realized they were a sinner and that they need a Savior. And they've never turned to that Savior and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy, but You are. And I can't save myself, but You said if I'd ask You, You'd save me and get born again." You know what? You'll understand what we're shouting about. If you got to heaven without that, you would be miserable. You'd be so out of place. I hope you're saved today. Are you saved? Do you know if you died right now, you go to heaven? Can you put your finger on a day and a time, or at least generally a time, to where you saw yourself as a sinner because God said so? And you turned to the Savior because God said so? And you asked Him to save you because God said so? And then you were regenerated in Christ and you became a new creature because God said so?
Amen. Thank you.
That's what you need to go to heaven. Let's stand. Father.